Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode, another 90-minute show tonight because I love that 90-minute time block, and I like to be able to kick it with y'all for a little bit longer. Plus, a lot of these topics tend to extend the time, and we have to go into a little bit more depth to really get at what we want to get into. So, and I don't want to go over time or get cut off or nothing like that. Or, you know, have people expect a one-hour show and we're going on for longer. So I just keep it safe, go for that 90-minute block. Today was a great day. Today's Monday. You know, a lot of people like to relax on Sundays. But really, you know, in my world, I treat my Mondays are more like, you know, most people that I know Sundays, where they kind of unwind on Sundays and take that day to recharge. And that's what I did today. You know, I had my nephew over here. We were chilling. I had the Play-Doh out. I pretty much recharged everything, literally. You know, recharged my mental batteries, physical batteries, all my electronic devices batteries. You know, I'm talking the Apple Watch, the laptop, Bluetooth speaker, all my summer accessories, all the things that make me happy. So today was a full recharge, and I'm ready to kick it into gear for the rest of the week starting tomorrow on Tuesday. So, you know, I got my boy Rodney in here, you know. He's always coming on and showing love, so we're going to chop it up tonight, talk some battle rap stuff. Ronnie, you out there, bro? Can you hear me?
Of course. Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, bro. Just letting you finish your introduction. That's all.
Yeah, no doubt, bro. I just wanted to... It was going through. I just switched on to the Beats headphones. Can you hear me still?
Oh, yeah. I hear you perfectly clear.
All right, word, because... The cord I have on one end is a little bit busted, so I don't know if it gets through only on one side and not the other. You know, I got literally the original Beats headphones. Like, I got, like, the original studio Beats studio headphones. Like, I'm talking, like, the 09
mm-hmm.
version. Like, the black and red one,
mm-hmm.
like, the first one. That's the ones
I know you're talking about.
These things are almost an antique over here. And they still work great. I'm not even going to front on Dre, bro.
It's now 9 years now since that was out. That's crazy.
I mean, and they've dropped so many new editions of the Beats headphones. I mean, you can get, like, the Detox headphones
and
stuff. I saw those. Yeah, no, it's definitely a quality product.
Can't
even
still drop that song.
Oh, what, the Detox? What, you're
yeah,
saying the Detox,
you remember that
the
It's
Dre
a Loud song? Yeah, with Kendrick and Drake. Like, I ride like a freight train park outside. I remember that track. It sounded good without the drone that they did. Like in the Beats by Dre commercial with Kendrick.
Oh yeah. Okay, now I see you. I thought you were saying the Detox album, because when I said Detox, okay. Yeah, we still didn't get the Detox album, but yeah, that's true though. You know, a lot of people hate on the Beats headphones, and, you know, I know, like, Bose makes good headphones. I mean, Bose speakers has been quality since ever. And those have been around since I was a little kid. Bose always had quality. I mean, there's a lot of good headphones out there, and there's probably better ones than the Beats, too. But it's just that,
yeah,
I think Beats headphones
get a
bad
rap. Because of the name, they know me as the best.
Yeah, I mean, Beats headphones gets a bad rap. I mean, I've been rocking, and don't forget, like, when I say, like, have these for 9 years, like, I've been constantly using them for 9 years, traveling with them, taking them all sorts of places. I've brought them to all sorts of different studios because y'all know I record music. So
mm-hmm.
I've let other people use them, let other people borrow them. Like, these things are a little beat up. They're noticeably beat up, but they still work fine. I still use them. I plug into them for almost every show now because I just like the sound quality better. It's more like a captivating experience. I feel like I'm more in on the show wearing these than when I'm just kind of talking into my phone. So, you know, I think it's a good product. I still think the Beats is definitely a good product, regardless of the naysayers that kind of talk down on Dre Beats.
Right.
But I got a little sidetracked. For sure. And before I get too sidetracked talking about headphones and stuff, today also one last thing I wanted to say was that Lyrical Epiphany, I wrote some crazy stuff today. I know I might have mentioned this a few times in the last few shows, And I'm talking a little fast right now. You know, I usually talk a little fast, but this might be a little bit more because I was just so excited to get on and talk with y'all tonight. I swear to God, I was so excited. I couldn't wait because I just had such a good day. But at the same time, it was like I'm always excited for this show, you know, once or twice a week or whenever we get on. I'm always very excited. And today especially, I was extremely excited. I don't even know why. I mean, I couldn't wait to share, you know, this content with y'all today. I mean, not like I'm going to give away the bars or nothing, but I did write, you know, another piece to this music that I'm putting together right now, which I'll definitely advertise on the show and probably shout out the link in the description when I do drop it. This is some touching music. It's personal and it's very open. You know, there's a big thing in hip hop and rap music and just music in general today is that there's a lot of elements to it and there's a lot of symbolism in music and there's a lot of, not everything is always straightforward. Like when I say like symbolism, like I feel like a lot of it is, you know, there's phrases that kind of mean other things and the meanings to songs aren't always exactly clear. And a lot of artists are indirect with things that they talk about and they're also general. So the music is very general. It's hard to really pinpoint. And I mean, of course, that only gets more and more the more famous the artist is, kind of like Drake, you know, on his new Scorpion album, like, you know, some of his most lyrical records, like the record March 14th. I don't know if y'all listen to March 14th.
I love March 14th. I was listening to that song earlier today, actually. I promise if I'm not dead, then I'm dedicated. She's not my lover like Billie Jean, but the kid is mine. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a dope, dope record. That's probably like top five. I mean, I haven't listened to the entire album, but there is like 20 or so tracks. So, I mean, I want to listen to it all and really take it all in. I don't want to rush through it. So, my bad, Drake. I ain't listening to your whole album yet. You know, he probably wouldn't hear this either. But I ain't listening to your whole album, beloved. But I'm going to. I want to take it all in. I don't want to rush it and just get through it just for the hell of it because this is some beautiful music. But I just know that so far of what I have listened to, which is probably about half the album, that March 14th is probably like top three of my favorites. Probably go with that one, Survival.
8 out of 10.
And
Sandra Rose. Survival was hard too. Emotionless was hard.
Survival. Okay, yeah, that's the one that I was looking for. 8 out of 10 would probably be an honorary mention behind Emotionless. March 14th, Survival.
Emotionless was so hard.
That's probably my top three. Yeah, Emotional was straight fire, bro. That's the type of stuff that kills me is that, like, people be hating so hard on Aubrey, bro. But the thing is this, is that when he comes to rap, ain't nobody touching that flow, bro. It's too much. Like, when he really put his all into some writing, like, nobody's getting to that level today. Like, there's nobody getting on that level.
I listened to a couple of the freestyles he did in London. It was dope.
Yeah, man. I you watched that the one with the guy who had, you know, he's always making all those sound effects. I can't think of the DJ's
name.
Yeah,
Fire in the Booth with that guy, Charlie.
Yeah, Fire in the Booth.
Yeah,
that's the one I watched. That was
that guy pressed that button every after every sentence, after every full word.
Yeah.
I was dying laughing.
Imagine that. Yeah, he was. You know, if I was in there, I would have been like, damn, bro, I wouldn't even know how to react. I mean, look at Drake. He just kept smiling. Like, he didn't even know, like, what to do. It was like, imagine that guy on URL, like, he was in charge of the Don DeMarcos. Oh, my God. It would be like, be obnoxious.
All we would have kept hearing was Don, like, 7 times.
Yeah, it was a bit OD, but I do like that dude's personality. I like his energy when somebody comes on. He's very, you know, he shows a lot of respect, and he's very—he's a good DJ. I feel like he has a good personality to be on the air. So, and I fuck with that
it's
guy.
Cool. It's cool. It's just—he seemed way too overexcited, but he seemed cool.
Yeah, and you know what too is like, so what I was trying to get at before is like that the music that I wrote today and the stuff that I have is like kind of how like the Drake on a lot of his records, like it's general stuff, like. You can't always tell what he's talking about, but some of the records a personal to where, like, the March 14th and the Emotionless, like, that's the kind of stuff that if I had to relate the content to, like, something that's come out recently, I would say it's most relatable to, like, those few records, where it's, like, the stuff is personal, but at the same time, it's, like, you can feel it. Like, if you just if you actually listen to it, you're either going to relate to it or you're not. But either way, you're probably most likely, if you like bars and you like lyrical things, if you can't relate to it, you're still going to respect the work, because this is some penmanship going into this. This is some penmanship. This is some lyrical stuff here. I ain't playing at all. This is very, it's going to be thought provoking, even for me to listen back to. I'm going to be like, damn, I'm being inspired to write some more shit. Just listen back to, you know, the replay in the studio. So I hate to hype myself too much, it sounds like, but I'm definitely excited for this. This is the most honest music I've ever written in my life. So I can't wait to
see, because you went 10 minutes on it.
Yeah, bro. You know what is actually crazy, too, is that I feel like, you know, sometimes, like, I'll write some music and I, like, the inspiration kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, I'll kind of have to go through my day and, like, I might start writing a couple lines. Like, most of my lyrics, not like when I'm writing a whole song, it doesn't go down here. But, like, when I'm, like, just figuring out, like, the first few lines to what I end up being a song later is always when I'm at work. Like, I'm always jotting down lines real quick at work. Like, you know, 1-2 bars. Maybe a 4-bar measure. Like, I'm just jotting it down, like, mad fast at work and throwing my phone back in my pocket. Like, I always be doing that at work. And I don't know why.
I've been there.
You know, one thing that definitely inspired me when I wrote today, I'm pretty sure this played a factor, was Mickey Facts. I was listening to Mickey Facts last night, and I'm not talking about his music. I was just listening to Mickey Facts rap because I was watching his battle with Daylight. And if y'all are familiar with battle rap, then you probably know
his penmanship in that battle was impeccable.
So, exactly. So
that Marvel scheme was crazy in that first round.
Yeah, bro. Mickey Facts.
They couldn't plan it because I got a big ego, son. So they gave Mike Peter Quill. That's crazy. Marvel. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Johnny Storm. Y'all know my versus five. That's crazy. My bad, Keith. But goodness, that Marvel is crazy.
I mean, man, I just remember watching it live and just being like, we was all blown away, like, watching Mickey rap at Mat 3. Like, I there was a lot of head rolls going on, bro. There's going to be a lot of head rolls. You know, he could have just said that. I mean, because it's the moments where, like, I have to look away. Like, I'm like, damn, bro. Like that was kind of what was happening. Like, I got to just, like, you know, I just, like, tap my brother on the shoulder. I'm like, bruh, like, this thing is ugly right now. Like, y'all got to just let this guy rap for the whole event because he's just
right.
But, yeah, I was watching and like, the funny battle with Daylight. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying the funny
ahead,
thing,
bro.
About, like, we all have, like, some type of motivation that make us want to just write something for no reason at all. I remember, last week, I was thinking about Surf and Rum Nitty, like the bars. It made me want to just write. And next thing you know, I got the urge to want to battle somebody. But it took me off because I'm not in high school anymore. So I can't just go to other guy like, yo, you want smoke? Because, one, it's summer. Two, not everybody's connected like that. So I can't, like, break niggas down in college. And they're definitely not trying to put their all in, like, trying to battle against me or even care. So it's kind of hard now to, like, get these bars off. And I still write some, like, bars here and there that I feel like it's going to be crazy. But, like, dog, there are times I came up with whole schemes for people that I know for a fact I'm not battling. And I'm mad now because it's like, dog, I feel like I'm wasting bars. And I'm not even a rapper or a battle rapper. And that sucks sometimes as, like, somebody that loves the game so much. I'm not even trying to be a rapper. I'm not trying to go studio time. But sometimes just certain things just motivate you to want to do something. Like there could be some video that make you want to work out. There could be some video that make you want to go play basketball. There could be some videos or some type of motivation that make you want to write a bar and rap. Like, sometimes, like, I just I just stand, after watching the battle too, I like stand in the middle of the room, act like I'm battling somebody on the big stage, and then bars pop up in my head, and I'd be like, oh, shoot, let me write that down real quick, just for no reason at all. I'm not battling anybody. I'm not getting booked to battle anybody. I'm not even booked to battle in TRL yet. I don't think anybody's booked to battle in TRL yet, but like it's either way, it's hilarious that somehow we always find motivation to do something, knowing damn well we're not about to do anything that we actually really want to do. But we all get that motivation somehow. Even rapping on beats, so I imagine myself sometimes you write your own material to spit on a beat, and you know for a fact that it's not even close to trash, but it's like you bring yourself back to reality, like you know you're not a rapper, right? You're not trying to get a deal. You're not trying to do anything, but just something just motivates you to do that for no reason at all. And it's always hilarious, but at the same time, it just happens.
Well, the last part of what you said was probably the biggest part that it hooked me in, because, I mean, not that it was. I was like deeply listening to what you were saying. It was just that, like, that last part, it really was made me think of this. Because when you were saying, like, you know, you get inspired by, you know, doing different things that you're not even trying to professionally do. But then when you said about, like, you know, you're not trying to get a deal or anything, but you have the urge to write something down, it's like, well, first of all, it's like, you got to do things. Well, not like, I'm only 22. I'm only a couple of years older than you. Like, it's not like I know, but at least, like, what I believe is I can kick to, like, you just got to do things as if, like, you got to do things as if, like, there's no, almost as if there is no goal in mind. Like, you got to do it as if, like, you're your own inspiration. Like, once you get the inspiration from something else, the only thing that keeps you doing it, you know, not just the first time, but the second, third, and fourth time, like, is your own inspiration to just, of just enjoying having done it the first time. Like, when you feel the urge to write something that time, and then you start writing some bars down, and then you think to yourself, like, but what am I going to do with this? Like, I don't have a beat to spit to or whatever, or, you know, I don't have, I don't have a battle book. Like, I can't, like, you know, get this scheme off on this person or whatever. Like, that, you know, they're not available or whatever the case may be. It's like for your own entertainment's sake, your own happiness, your own enjoyment, like, and your own inspiration to just want to be creative. Like, I feel like that's what, I'm not trying to tell you how to live. I'm just saying that I think is the divine inspiration of everything. It's just wanting, it's just enjoying doing it. And through that, you know, just having fun with creating, you know, that craft more and more, getting better at it, you know, kind of just comes with it. Like, you're not even always, like, every time you work at that thing again, like, because with everything, with more practice, you will get better at it. You know, that's just natural.
Right.
Like, your body will, like you said about working out, like, you know, if you're watching, like, a bodybuilder, you know, he's showing a workout plan on a video, or like a, you know, a certain diet, and he's, you know, they look great or whatever or something, and you know they're you know, in competitions and stuff like that, and they're on a whole other level. You're thinking to yourself, like, damn, I'm not even, you know, I know I'm not about to go jump into this world to go do that, but it's just like when you do the repetition of keeping on doing it, you know, it's gonna feel good every time, and you will get better at it every time. So just the happiness off of that feeling is a good motivation in itself. Like, when you get that inspiration from outside source, you can reuse it, you know, built off of your own happiness from the result. Because every time you write, you might not always like what you write, but, like, your pen's going to get harder. Like, your pen's going to get more dangerous. Like, you know, just referring to rap, because we both really into rap, like, in one form or the other. Like, these guys who battle is, like, you know, I bet they write certain, like, lines that they don't even, you know, how many throwaway bars, like, these guys probably have. Like, and you probably have throwaway bars, too, that you just, like, yeah, like, you probably have.
They have a million every battle.
Like, exactly. But I'm saying, like, all of us have, you know, certain, like, there are certain failures, and that doesn't, you know, stop you from enjoying doing it, like, the next time. Like, and at the same way, is, like, knowing that, oh, I might not be
you know, in the position on the, to do this professionally or get a deal or, you know, so forth and so on, et cetera. Like, don't, just as much as failing at something doesn't make you stop, or just as much as riding around and realizing it's petty or that it's trash or that it's some of your lightest bars doesn't make you stop, don't let, you know, the idea that you think you can't or that you won't do it in a bigger way stop you from doing it at all. You feel me? Because I feel like that, like, in one line that I feel like directly relates to that, to what you just said and what I'm trying to explain, that actually pushes me to keep doing music and that I've always fucked with is Logic. Logic's one of my favorite artists, and he's, like, one of the biggest inspirations, like, to my music. Not really style-wise, like, his, like, the way he puts his lyrics together, I don't feel like is really... I don't really try to be like him, but it's just it's his wisdom and just his ideas about things and his attitude towards it. You know what I'm saying? Like that and the motivation. Like Logic has dropped the album, I'm pretty sure, every year of his career so far. Like he keeps on going. Like he always comes out with a new thing. Like every album he drops is entirely different than the last one. And he always is coming out with a new idea, a new concept. Besides when he did the Bobby Tarantino, and then he did Bobby Tarantino 2. Of course, those are going to be kind of reminiscent of each other because it's the same theme. It's also, it's a sequel to the original, so it's going to be reminiscent of, you know, the style is going to be similar. The approach is going to be a little bit similar, but, like, all of his albums have had almost a completely different approach, and he always, you know, he must have some kind of motivation that makes him come in and come in with new creative ideas, you know, to keep on working. And one of the lines that I, you know, I'm getting sidetracked from saying it, but I want to tell you, and it pushes me, is it's a short line. It's not something crazy. But I was listening to his album, The Incredible True Story, the other day, and that's one of my favorite albums ever. Like, that album is I think is perfect. Like, the way the story, like, each line, like, each track that transitions to the next track, I just feel like it's so dope. Like, the little, like, segments in between with, like, because it's all based on, you know, they're in a spaceship in the future, after, like, the apocalypse on Earth or something like that. And, like, the whole segment, the whole, like, it's just so creative. One of the lines is, he says, make music like it's no Grammy. You know, that's a short bar. He said, make music like it's no Grammy, like, as if you're not going for the award. Like, don't make it trying to make what you think other people are going to like or what you think is going to be called great by somebody that you think is great or just trying to impress people. Like, and that's what I got from that line when he said that. And like I said, it's a really short bar, but it carries a lot of substance and a lot of meaning.
Well, that might be the problem there now with some of the music that's out nowadays, because that there's the pressure now because the passion might be taken out a little bit, taken out more and more. Your career goes sometimes because of the pressure you get of, yo, we got to drop this album at this time and on this time span because we're trying hard to do this. We need the marketing right. We need the studio time perfectly. We need to get this out ASAP. We need to get these people. We need to do that. And because we got to get this, we got to get that. And then after all that, sometimes it's like, I don't even want to do this anymore. Let me just do this song real quick to get over so I can move on with my life and go home, because I don't even care anymore. Like, it's like sometimes when you're pressured into something or you're pushed into doing something, especially something that you used to always want to do, instead of like just flowing into it and having the feel that you always have into it, you lose passion for it. Charlie Clips, when Charlie Clips was saying that when he went on the slump in battle rap, he was losing fun for it because it became a business. Once he started having fun again, he started doing better. And like sometimes, like because everything is business and everything has such a timeline, not saying you shouldn't have things at a certain timeline or a time span, but when you're pressured into something, like in any situation, whether it's pressure into a fight, pressure into like dropping something, pressured into being a part of something, you lose more and more interest in doing it. And it makes you not even want to be a part of it or do it anymore. That's some of the reasons why some people don't want to do it. That's why Joe Budden is retired
because like the because business wasn't up to par, and because of a dope MC that he feel he is, along with a lot of other people feel that he is, and the and how much that he's worth according to a lot of other people, a lot of other marketing people, and for him to feel disrespected. And make them feel like, you know what? What's the point? Is it if I don't feel like the worth that I am? Because like, once business is involved, like, that ruins everything. There's a reason why J. Cole's 444 album was so great, because I don't think he was really precious doing 444. There might have been people that was asking for like, an album from Drake. I mean an album from Jay-Z. But it wasn't that much pressure compared to, compared to J. Cole or Drake, or maybe more of the new era. Hold on, Keith, go ahead. Give me a sec. Somebody knocked at the door.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can jump right in from what he's talking about because, you know, responding to you and to whoever might be listening is that if you don't know about this topic, is like, you know, what he's trying to say is that the more that business gets involved into, you know, your craft or, you know, the work that you're putting in or something that you're passionate about that you do and possibly make money for, you know, getting more money and the pressure to be great or to be better than this guy or to top your last performance that it was like amazing, you know, this, that, and the third.
My bad, I'm back.
Can start to, yeah, no doubt. I was just saying that, you know, the pressure to be great can start to wear on your performance. And, you know, they also say, like, you're only as good as your last fight. Well, in battle rap, you're as good as your last battle. You're good as your last performance. And when you have an unbelievable performance, it's sometimes hard to live up to that. And people keep that in their mind, and it gets stuck. It's like, you know, for example, you know, Charlie Clips is like, the perfect example of this because for a long time, you know, he was getting so much love, and he had such a big following. Like, every battle, like, people will – just watching Charlie Clips, like there was definitely a fan base that was mainly watching Charlie Clips battles and nothing else, and they would gas him up. They have him winning every battle. Well, yeah, you can chalk it up to that as a piece of why that also why he had the bumps in his career now, because he was getting so much love and he watching the feedback for his battles. People said Charlie Clips 3-0 for, like, you know, a couple of years straight. Like, you couldn't win a round off.
That was to be trolls. That was just jokes. Trust me. That not everything was Charlie 3-0. That started after the T-Rex battle. After that, it was trolls saying Charlie Clips 3-0. And it was just to be silly. It wasn't like every battle that Clips did was a 3-0. Nope. You never heard a Clips 3-0 in the Hollow battle, even before, like, everything died down. When the battle first happened, it was more of a debatable, but everybody knew Clips lost the second, Hollow lost the third. But in the beginning, the first was pretty close when the battle just happened. And I think it was more because, like, the battle had such a high expectation. People were saying it was trash. But now after everything died down, people started to see, you know what? Hollow's first was a lot better than I thought that I remembered. Same thing for the Lux battle. At first, people were saying the freaking crowd was chanting Clips 3-0. I mean, chanting 3-0 for Clips. And next thing you know, the more time passed and the more things died down, the more you started seeing, you know what? This battle was closer than I thought. And next thing you know, more time flew, the more it was like, Lux might have won 2-1. Now it's like, yo, Lux damn near won all three rounds. And to the point that I'm saying that. And the funny thing is, I'm a Clips fan. I'm not a Clips stan, but I'm a Clips fan. It was like, and I was rooting for Clips because I love Clips so much. And this was a big battle. And I was rooting for Clips.
Hold on, bro. I'm going to stop. What I wanted to say to them was that after the T-Rex battle, it's good you brought that up, because when I was saying that you're as good as your last performance, it was hard for – I definitely think it was hard for Clips to live up to that T-Rex performance because he was so fire. Well, I mean, if T-Rex was full form, it would have probably looked different. he probably wouldn't have looked like such a body bag that it was, because T-Rex really didn't come with, you know, his bars were very light. You know, whatever it was, mixtape bars or whatever, I don't care what was it, you know, he probably had a good excuse, whatever. But the point is that he wasn't full form T-Rex, and if he was, it probably would have looked a lot different. People wouldn't have been saying 3-0. But anyways, Charlie Clips, either way, his rounds were so fire, especially his third round about the math angle and all that, was so legendary that it was definitely hard for him to live up to that performance. Because he never had a performance after that where he looked so powerful.
Well, if we're being honest, Keys, we could say that in a live battle before the T-Rex battle. Before that, it was the Sioux Surf battle. Before that, it was maybe the close Big T battle. Before that, the A-Verb battle. Like, there's been numerous battles before T-Rex that we could say, yo, there's no way Clips could top this. This was the best Clips ever. I've seen people in the comment section after watching the surf battle saying, yo, if Hollow would have got this Charlie Clips, Clips would have won easily. Or in the A-Verb battle, if Hollow would have got the A-Verb Clips, like there's so many battles that you can go back to and saying, yo, Clips won the top. It's hard for Clips to top this. If I can really say the reason that held Clips back after that battle, it's because he took too many goddamn battles and it wore him out. That also cost him the love for it. And plus, what Clips said out of his own mouth, his gambling addiction that he had. Ever since then, last year he's had a great year. This year, the ab battle and the 2-on-2 with DNA, crazy. The Briz battle, it wasn't the best, but he won pretty good. He won pretty well. The rocket scheme that he did in that Briz battle was dope. I only seen that battle one time though. But besides that, Clips did okay in that performance, but he's gonna need more than that for Calico. People still asking for Clips versus this person versus that person. So it's not like he went downhill after that, but it's more like. It's more like because when you do other things that also cause you to lose the love for it, it's like you're putting so much on your plate. Once you try to like take everything in for a little too much to the point that you end up throwing everything up. Even Paz said it after the Hollow battle, like it's like that's what happens when Clips get overloaded. Like, it just, you, after a while, it's like, all right, though. Like, some people can handle that. Like, for example, DNA, Twerk looks like he's doing pretty good with that. But not everybody can handle that. And even if Clips is a great freestyler, sometimes when you're in a certain situation, you need rest. Even DNA right now has been chilling, not taking as many battles that he usually does. The only battle that we've seen DNA take was a 2-on-2 on RBE with Clips and the Cannons. The known battle against JC. He's booked for Twerk. We're seeing talks with Mickey Facts, and that was great. I want to see that face off desperately. And I would like to see that battle. Watch it back on. But sometimes you got to look and realize, you know what, let me slow down with some of your stuff. Once Clips get that together, he should be good. But I've really been saying Clips take too many battles. It's more, it's really more of, right now it's really more Clips between Battle Rap and Wild Note. And even with that, you see, Clips, he has the luxury of taking his time more now. But he just doesn't want to do that for some reason. You see how Hitman's doing it. He's doing one or maybe two battles a year, possibly three at most. Last year he did three, one against Suge to get the rust off, the 2-on-2, which wasn't bad, but it was just I don't know what the problem was between him and Verb, and the great performance against K-Shine. Then after that, he was chilling. But besides that, Clips, he was doing like 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 battles last year, despite whether or not he did good in all of them. Clips, you're at the you're at, like how Surf says it, you're at God tier now. You can afford to not take that many battles. Look, in this face-off with Rum, Surf told Rum, you made it now. You're here now. You don't have to do initiation again. You no more Supreme Legacy. You don't have to do all these other big battles, other little battles now to get up there now. You are there now. You can talk stuff to the other guys that can't get me. The Cortezes, the John Johns. You're not JC. I shouldn't have to see you in the basement battling for $1,700. Like that type of stuff, despite of it sounding good to belittle your opponent in a face off, that's facts. You're there now. You're at the spot where you can pick and choose and take your time with certain things. Wrestling. You see John Cena is now wrestling all the time lately because he's at the stage now where he can pick and choose when he wants to be in wrestling matches. After the Undertaker match, we haven't seen much of John Cena in WWE recently. Why? Because he's at the stage now where he's done it all. He's done everything. He might come back before SummerSlam, or he might do another match here and there, maybe once or twice. But you don't see him every week now. Why? Because he's at the stage now where he can do whatever he wants, that he doesn't have to depend on wrestling. You're on Wildin' Out now, Cliff.
Hey, bro, look at this.
You can see it
now. Hey, bro, look at this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so you're trying to bar somebody off the phone again, but it's just me. You can't bar me off the phone, dog.
Bad.
So
not bad.
I was just trying to.
You barred me off for 10 minutes straight about music. Don't pull that on me.
Hey, Rise ain't here tonight, dog. I tried to get him on, but you can't bar him off the phone. He ain't here to get barred off the phone, dog. So
I want to apologize.
I can't.
I was trying to
set that up for you, but he couldn't make it because he's with the lady. So I hope I talked to him earlier. Hopefully he can jump on for the next show, though. So that'll be dope. If we could do that. I know me and Lee are gonna jump on
if he's on there.
Yeah, I know me and Lee are gonna jump on episode 50. Later this week.
Congrats.
But hopefully, episode 50. That's dope. The shout out to 50 episodes. Hopefully that me, you, and Rise can get on probably maybe during the weekend because he said the weekend is a bit more open. So hopefully he can get, 20 minutes away from the lady to jump on and talk with us because I value that man's opinion. So, so what I wanted to jump into is that, okay, so I just want to clarify this because I almost thought that Summer Madness 7 was next weekend. Not like –
nope.
So today's Monday, not this coming weekend, next weekend. But it's the weekend after. I was hoping it wasn't next weekend because I had something big planned for next Saturday. I probably wasn't going to be able to watch it, Summer Madness, at least not live if I were to get it next weekend. So I'm glad it's the weekend after. So you have Summer Madness on URL Summer Madness 7 is on Saturday, August 11th. Probably going to go down in the afternoon. They always go on in the afternoon. No, on URL, you get the stream, and it'll start like 4 hours later. So that's the same way it goes down. It ain't even that because it's the same thing that goes down when you go to the event. I mean, I've never been to URL event, but I know a KOTD is like you get in line, and you wait for like 3 hours, and then you get into the venue. Then you wait for like another hour and a half, and then the battle starts. It's like it's such a long process. The waiting is probably almost longer than the full event. So I understand that, but it's just it'll probably go down in the afternoon. Then you have the weekend after that is RBE, Rare Breed Entertainment, the card called Rare Breeds, is looking fire. Now, I'm kind of scared about this card, dog.
Brick.
Yeah, man, I'm really scared about this card because the more I look at it and, like, the more I see the blogs and all the hype about it and just how much – I feel like there's a lot of star power on this card. There's a lot of star power, and it's just kind of like – it's scary, dog, because I could just see this event, like, falling apart. Like, I could either just see, like, big names falling off the bill at the last second, or it going down, and then the battle is just not living up to the hype because of how much hype that there was. And that's scary to me. Like, it's very – I hope that doesn't happen. Like, I hope everybody – gets on this album, Los. I feel like I could see King Los, like, dropping out of the ballot the last second. I could just see it. He's an industry guy. I know we say you don't like to be called industry guy, but he's an industry guy, right?
I've seen Los do his freestyle hip hop is real quick. Dog, I've already been excited about King Los battling finally, but dog, I'm excited to what he's gonna do against Daylight. I'm really excited. I'm very excited. I was already excited about on the card already. After that freestyle, I got to see what he's gonna do and what he's gonna say. It was dope.
So
it was dope.
I'm sure if
and the
King
scope
Los
of things
on way
more
stage,
50 than him.
Yeah, I think if he does make it to the stage, you know, I'm a fan of King Los. I mean, I don't listen to his music on like in daily rotation or nothing like that. But like, I know years ago I was really a fan of King Los. I thought when they dropped the when Kendrick Lamar, people probably don't even know about this because they don't know about nothing. But when they dropped the Kendrick Lamar, when he had the control verse, King Los actually did a response to the control verse, even though I don't know if he was called out, but he did enter into it anyways and just put his name in the mix.
King?
And Nah, chill, bro. I'm going to talk my shit, all right? So King Los did his response to the control verse.
This little add-in. Everybody responded to that, Keys.
I'm saying that Los. All right, that's cool, bro, but you look at this. I'm saying that Los wasn't mentioned.
That's cool.
I'm saying Los wasn't mentioned by Kendrick Lamar. Papoose wasn't mentioned by Kendrick Lamar. There was a lot of names that responded that were never actually called out. That's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
And the funny thing is that almost everybody that was called out did not respond. And everybody that wasn't called out responded with bars. Like, it was fire. But it was sad because all those nerds that got called out didn't even respond, bro, because they're too Hollywood for that shit. All right, don't get me gone because I'll get frustrated. But anyways, so King Los, his control verse was straight fire. And that was one of my favorite ones. He had some Facebook line, and you got to go back and watch it. The thing was dope. But my thing is, I just feel like if King Los can adjust, and I hope he's been watching battles, like, because these guys come out here, and they don't even know what the hell is the dynamic in battle rap. Like,
I
get excited for these type of things. But I hope he's been watching, and he's been adjusting his material, because I know he can rap, but that's different than being up on that stage, especially at an event of this caliber. Like, I don't know how many people are going to fit in the venue, if it's going to be a lot or if it's a small venue, but either way, like, even a couple hundred people and him just being on that stage and being in the presence of Murder Mook and Daylight and all these big Iron Solomon, all these crazy MCs, when he hears those guys rap and then he's going to get on there, like, I hope he delivers and he has his material adjusted and he knows, like, he's going to cater to this crowd, I hope, because I mean, when Cassidy got, like, the first time, I don't know who sabotaged the event, but I feel like Cassidy threw the damn thing himself because he couldn't figure out his material or what. Or he knew his rounds were trash. I don't know. But I know the first Ether thing, when I watched the footage back, because I wouldn't have dared to order that pay-per-view because it just looked like a mess. When they did the Ether thing, if you remember, Cassidy got on the stage and people came on, like, he started his first round for Disaster, and all of a sudden, I forget what happened. Was it, like, people came on the stage or something like that? Or, like, something got messed up,
yes.
So, like, he stopped rapping the first round?
And it was 20 minutes of get off the stage. That's all we kept hearing for, like, 20 minutes. And the battle only went, like, 30 minutes of one round, and the event ended, and they had to close the venue. I remember that. And Cassidy started first round. He had a little bit of a Charlie Clips do a whole nother scheme with it. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so I know Cassidy said that when they did the, not the rematch, but like when they did the rescheduled battle and it was in like somebody's like parking garage with like, you know, a couple people in there. Like that footage, that was, I think Cassidy looked a lot better. But
way better.
In one of his lines, he did say that I think it was one of the opening lines of his first round. He told Disaster that that Disaster paid some people from Grape Street to mess up their battle, and I don't believe Cassidy at all when he said that. I feel like
his own people fucked up the battle, first of all. Because I don't see why Disaster would have wanted to ruin that moment.
And
why
Disaster's
would he have wanted to ruin
was
the...
good in that first day.
Yeah. Disaster doesn't play around with these. Disaster does not come unprepared, bro. He does not mess around with none of these battles. Especially these, like, legends. Like, I mean, the cannabis battle, I don't remember him being unprepared for that. His shit was fire, so... He doesn't come
that battle
the reason
why I watched battle rap.
Exactly. That was like, you know, that line he had about the crutch, and he's like, "Da da da, you've never been a good shoulder to lean on." I'm like, oh my god, bro. Cannabis got sent to the where Rich Dollar's at. Oh my god. Okay, so yeah, the Disaster. I don't believe that at all. I think Cassidy's people messed up the thing because they seen him up there looking like trash. And then they was like, yo, let's just mess up the battle. We're gonna lay into Cassidy and let him know he's got to go rewrite 3 new rounds because this stuff is trash and it's not hitting with the crowd. He's going to lose on camera at this huge event. So then let us get it rebooked for this, you know, parking garage somewhere where, you know, only 100 people are going to even witness it. And it's going to be hard to even get back on cam and have him come with 3, you know, more adjusted rounds, not copying other people's material and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he came with a completely different approach and a whole different set of bars, and it didn't look like an amateur, and it looked like a different Cassidy when they did that. So I just think that's too suspect. I don't think Disaster changed his rounds. I feel like he had what he came with. It was the same stuff.
The only thing that I remember was Cassidy's first round, and the worst part about it, he won that battle because for some reason, Diz wasn't just saying. We expected so much from Diz. We expected that cannabis Diz. I expected the Diz that Iron Solomon got. The Diz that Matt Hoffa got a little bit. Like a good Disaster. I was expecting at least some part of that. I don't know what happened. I don't know what Diz was doing in that second battle. Like, and
yeah, I think it was.
Nah. After looking back at that on the first battle, I was like, "Yo, what was this in the other Cassidy battle?" Because he won that first clearly. Well, go ahead, Keith. My bad.
Well, nah, it's all good. I feel like that Diz, he didn't. I feel like his angles really like. I feel like his angles might have lost in the battle. I just think that I can't remember exactly what it was, but I know him like in his second and third. I think he tried to use like relatively the same angle, and I just remember didn't hit in the second. Yeah, it didn't hit in the second, and then he tried to like relate back to it in the third. He kind of like reused it in a way, and then it didn't work in the third either. And I'm pretty sure Cassidy had like in one of those rounds. I think it was his second round. Cassidy had like the impersonation of Diz, which was so damn good, bro.
That was the most memorable thing out of that whole battle.
Yo, fact. And I feel like that won him that round because it was so well put together. And then how he even topped it off with the cherry on top. He was like, man, I sound better with. And he's like, man, you looking at me like, he sound better with my style. I was like, yo, Diz, get out of here with that round, bro. That was it after that. He's like, you sound better with your style. Like, yo, that was fire, bro. The way he did that Disaster impression was so fire. But, yeah, I feel like Cassidy, I thought, got him 2-1 in that battle. I forget what rounds I had, but I think 2-1.
Everybody did.
Probably.
The first round, definitely.
Yeah.
The second, and I don't remember the second and third, but I don't think anybody cares because the battle wasn't great besides that one moment in that battle.
I thought I remembered having Disaster win in the first round and then Cassidy won in the second and third round, but maybe I'm screwing up something.
Diz did not win.
Maybe Disaster. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I haven't watched that in like 2 or 3 years.
Me neither.
Maybe it's 2 years because. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. But my point in saying this is that Cassidy's first attempt to try and get on a stage and. On such a like high caliber event, like this Rare Breeds, I know is different than is not Ether, and it's not put on by some like random millionaires who have no idea about battle rap.
it's a completely different thing because Red Breeze is like proven in the culture, and they always put on like crazy events, like the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and all that. Like, is always fire. So, I mean, it's a completely different thing, but it just scared me. Like, just having such a big card. I mean, especially last year, how UW had the Alpha Omega card, and like that one kind of looked crazy on paper, but then once it happened, like, I don't know, bro. I felt like wasn't as crazy as I really thought it was going to be.
All right, I know. John versus Red was cool in that battle. Red won the baby 3-0. T-Rex no-showed again, so him versus Jay didn't happen. Head Ice backed out, so Chug got 3-0 by DNA, debatably. Clips 3-0'd Ride B, but it wasn't nothing crazy. The most talked about battle out of that entire card, besides Red, was Lux and Arch, and that was a pretty good one. But overall, that was way better. And not even just battles wise, just the whole production, the camera angle, the entourage on the stage. Like, there were more people on the stage than it was in the crowd. Like, the outcome of people that to show up wasn't a lot. Like, the venue, according to Champion, the venue held like over 1,000. It was barely even 400 people there. It looked like a high school prom. Like, and that sucks, especially with big names like you got Lux and Arsenal. Especially for Arsenal's Arsenal's last battle.
Yeah, I wasn't too pleased with that. I probably wouldn't order another UW pay per view after that. I was pretty disappointed by it. But I mean, it seems like all their events they always end up being not as good as they're hyped up to be. They put up so much promo for all their events, like all the high stakes and all that, and then once it happens, like it just never. I mean, the high stakes one was when they had had Loaded and Hollow, which was dope. I mean, at least I only watched that battle.
That event was fire. That event was probably one of the best events of that year. You had B-Magic versus Daylight. That was a great battle. You had Hitman versus Old Red, one of the best third rounds ever with the Old Red girl story. You had Surf versus Calico. That was a pretty good battle. I think Surf was doing more of exposing than trying to bar and battle with Calico. And they had one of the best top tier elite GOAT battles ever between Hollow and Lux. That's a really good event. Like, the only problem with that one was maybe the venue, the crowd that was booing every 5 seconds after a cheer, and maybe the mic issues. That's probably the only problem of that venue. Besides that, everybody. Oh, and Jack Thriller. Jack Thriller was a horrible host. He was drunk. He called Hollow the punchline king of battle rap. Like he was damn near interrupted, jumping in Hitman's rounds after the remix. It's like, goodness, Jack, chill out, bro. Like, it was so much going on.
Yeah.
Right. Hollow. I don't even think he had any clue what was going on in Hollow versus Lloyd Lux. I think he walked down the third round. That was a great battle.
Yeah.
He can't be doing no.
So I just, King Los, I hope that he, you know, is in 2018 when he comes to Battle Daylight, because if not, he's going to lose. Bro, we got to move on here because we didn't even get to this card at all. I want to be able to get into these two cards. So he got to show up in 2018, not in the DVD days. And Daylight, too.
I need between Los and Cassidy, though. Los is way more into this year. If you actually pay attention to Los's freestyles, and I've seen him on Instagram battling with battlers like Daylight, John, Charlie Clips,
and has been and went toe to toe with them broad wise too. And plus, he's saying like relevant stuff too. Even the freestyle he did, and you can't and there's no way that Los isn't watching battle rap. He went to Traffic, the first Traffic in URL when he got over there in L.A. He was there at the initiation event in L.A. That's where he did a freestyle next to Run Nitty and Danny Myers. Like, and he's freestyle battling with Danny Myers back in the first Traffic. Los is definitely in tune with the culture, at least a little bit, especially when him and Daylight go way back. So he's been paying attention to what Daylight's been doing. So I could bet the whole house that Los is going to be really good, especially battle rap wise. In this battle against Daylight, go ahead. Cause I know you want to move on. I've been talking too long. Go ahead. Keith?
Yeah, my bad. I was just responding to a text. Yeah, I was just responding to a text.
I thought I was going to take over again. I said, yeah.
No, I was just letting you rock over. Daylight, this is the thing, is that, like, this is another big stage where, like, Daylight can possibly just, but at the same time, before I even say that, I don't know if he will. I feel like he will rap, and we always hope that, but people
well,
that watch
rap.
Daylight and pay
it's
attention, even ARP mentioned it, that Daylight always shows up to rap when it's RBE. That's pretty much the only league mm-hmm. that he has that loyalty to. We don't even really know why, but I mean, everywhere else, he likes to do gimmicks and not try. Like, I mean, Mickey Facts battle, he did not try at all. I don't even care. I mean, yeah, that was a body, but Mickey Facts was beating a dead horse. Like, Daylight was not even competing. He couldn't compete. He could compete. He just wasn't competing. And that's the thing that I have a problem with that. I need to see the Daylight battle because I need to see him fight somebody who's going to rebuttal, who's going to be listening to the bars and freestyle based off of what he's saying, be direct, reply to what he's saying, get into the energy. Daylight wasn't even trying to compete. He was talking about Earth and Mother Nature and shit. Like, that ain't even a competitor, bro. You didn't shut him down.
I would like to take a second, to talk to my queens for a second.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mickey Facts, he needs to get a win on somebody who is actually trying to get him out of there, not a dead body who's not just rolling over, letting him win, because that's what Daylight did. I don't care what anybody says. So now Daylight, I think he'll come to rap because it's RBE. So if King Los is in 2018 versus Daylight on RBE, I think that battle is going to be a fire match. And I just hope they both make it to the stage and, you know, somebody's not throwing up or something and they can't, you know, so that should be dope. Other than that, though, you have the Iron Solomon and Big K. My brother actually just watched the
Iron 2-1.
Yeah, I think Iron Solomon probably win this one. Big K, I haven't been watching Big K because he's too emotional for me. I can't be dealing with all his complaining and shit and battles, so I just don't be watching him. I don't got time for that emotionalness. My brother does, so he'd be watching him, but I can't be dealing with it. So my brother actually, he had a crazy moment today because my brother texted me and he was like, yo, my brother said these words, bro, I swear to God. And we had this back and forth. I swear to God, bro, this is what we said. He texted me and he was like, damn, bro. He was like, Big K had a debatable with T-Top. He was like, Big K, T-Top is debatable. And I was like,
I don't know
what
he was smoking, but that might have been the best thing. He must have had that Orlando Brown type weed. I don't know what he was smoking.
Yeah, my brother doesn't smoke weed. But what's it called? So he said the battle's debatable. And what? I responded to him like this. And when I said, I swear to God, this is the part that I wanted. Yo, my reaction, because I said to my brother, I was like, wait a second. Hold up. I was like, first of all, you're what? I said, first of all, you just said the word debatable. My brother is the most, like, opinionated, like, one-sided battle kind of responder. Like, he never has said debatable ever. Like, bro, we've been to 3 events together. Not one time has he said a battle was debatable. Like, he always picks a clear winner
every
time. I've never heard him utter the word debatable. Well, that's what I'm saying. So this was the first time. So that's what I'm saying, though, is, well, that's what he said. He said Big K, Big K debatably lost to T-Dub. And because Big K is his favorite guy, so he was like, of course, like, no, I like Big K, but that was a debatable loss to T-Top. And then I was like, all right, first of all, you said the word debatable, so I'm blown away right there. Second of all, you just watched the Big K battle, not on King of the Dot, and you watched, not even just that, you watched the battle not on King of the Dot. I'm even more blown away. But it's probably because it was a Big K battle. If it was somebody else, he probably wouldn't have. But he just wanted to see it. I'm still proud of him. I'm still proud of him. He watched a non-King of the Dot battle. I was very happy. My brother, I mainly watch King of the Dot. Like, I watch other leagues, but I won't check up on all their stuff. I don't check up on all King of the Dot stuff either. But it's just that, I mean, they're the only ones that have events in Massachusetts, so those are the only ones that I go to. I mean, if URL had a Boston event, I'd most likely go to it. But they don't, so I don't go to it. And I'm not really... Right. Trying to travel out of state to, you know, go to events like that. I'm just not that committed. I apologize. But see, this is the thing, is that, like, you know, I do like KOTD's production and the quality of the battles. I like how there's not so much theatrics, there's not too much drama. Sometimes there is, but there's not too much, like, extra time put into the battles. They kind of just cut right down to the rounds, and they edit out a lot of the stuff, and it's just, you mostly get the rapping. That's what I like. There's, like, the 20-minute battles. I'm into that. And that's why I like the Smack Volume battles, that format, because it makes it a bit shorter, and you don't have as much of that, you know, big stage drama going on, and, you know, flipping the coin and people changing outfits and a lot of extra. But anyways, I was just amazed that he watched the non-King of the Dot battle for him, because he just watches that and old Grind Time battles, you know, from 05. So, yeah, that was hilarious. But, yeah, my point is they've been saying Big K has been – looking iffy lately in his last couple battles. So, and Iron Solomon, yes. You know, even though I wasn't really into his battle with Chilla Jones, no, it doesn't mean that they weren't getting busy. Because I'm not just because I'm not locked into the battle, or that I'm not really feeling the battle, doesn't mean that, like, the material's not good, or, like, they didn't come with three rounds, or that it wasn't fire. It could have even been a classic. And I'm just not really into the battle, because that thing, especially at that time of the night, was really hard for me to listen to. I mean, Chilla Jones, I'm not really a fan. I mean, I like Chilla Jones. I got to rock with him because he's from Boston. But other than that, like, I really don't really care for his style. Some of his stuff I really be going crazy for, but it's not really all the time. Iron Solomon I like a lot more, but it was just that time of the night. After seeing like six battles and then seeing that, man, I was tired. Like, I couldn't be trying
understand. Have you seen the battle
all
now?
This setup.
But it's out now.
Nah, I don't think I watched it back on camera yet.
Come on, dog.
Yeah. But my point is here is that, like, Big K, they're saying he's been looking shaky lately, and Iron Solomon has been fire lately, so. Yeah, I'd have Iron Solomon beating BK in this battle pretty clearly. But other than that one, I'm trying to think. You've got the Swayze and B-Dot. I don't really want to talk about these other battles. I'm going to go into the bread and butter. We're going to talk about Murder Mook and A-Verb. That's what we need to get down to right now. And I don't know why I had this order, and then we're going to talk about Summer Madness after this. So we still got plenty of time. But this one popped up in my mind first because I've been watching ARP vlogs. And I've been watching a lot of champion episodes with different face-offs from guys on these events and some other events. But, ARP, I watched the ARP blog last night. He had like a 15, 16-minute video just talking about what other people have been talking about. It's funny because when you're on the internet, you basically make blogs about other people's blogs. And that's kind of what we're doing right now. We're almost blogging about ARP's blog because – he was blogging about a blog about other people's blogs, and we're blogging about that blog.
I love his blogs.
So
when he went in on Mad,
yeah,
Mouse, I loved it.
ARP is a real ass dude. I never actually even like watched him on camera until last night, and when I watched it, I was like, "Yo, this dude is dope." Like he's very professional. Like he wasn't trying to like bash URL or nothing, or try to like outdo them.
And he doesn't sugarcoat anything.
Yeah, no, he was like, hey, look, like, you know, you guys are making it seem like we're trying to, like, compete like, he was like, we're not trying to outdo URL. We're just, he's like, we're actually honored to even be, you know, it just so happens our events are, you know, a week apart or whatever, but, you know, they're not on the same day. We're not trying to have you watch one or the other. They're both going to be dope events. He was like, we're actually honored to be, you know, getting the look, you know, around URL, because you guys are talking about, you know, our channel, you know, 70,000 subscribers versus their channel, who's got like, you know, 400,000 subscribers. So that's the difference here. And we're just honored to be getting this kind of attention next to such a, you know, the biggest league in battle rap. And that was real as fuck when he said that. I was very, not that I didn't expect him to say that, but it's just that you can't expect like a lot of these other leagues to come out and talk like that. You just can't expect like a league owner to come out and be that honest, be that real, and just say, and just be humble and just say, like, you know, honestly, we're honored to be even talked about in this league's presence. Like, for another league to come out and say, I don't know, man, I just can't picture anybody else talking like that. So ARP is a real ass dude. Shout out to that guy. I fuck with that. I'm sure that's why his events always go well and everything. It's always a dope turnout, because he seems, by the way, dude, he looks like a pretty serious guy. He's probably a great businessman. And that's why, you know, he was explaining that in his blog too. That's probably why his events are always such a dope turnout. You know, all the blood, sweat, and tears events. I always fuck with those lineups. It's like 10 crazy battles, you know, wild shit. But anyways, yeah, so the Murder, Mook, and Averb, I'm getting lost again here. Yeah, he was talking about that, and he was like, you know, he was comparing the main events of this to the Summer Madness, and he was like, yeah, you have, like, Hitman on the return battle versus the biggest guy, you know, one of the biggest guy in URL, T-Rock, so that's a huge battle. But he was, like, comparing that, like, to our return. You know, you have the return of Murder Mook, so we haven't seen him in 4 years. Like, he didn't battle last year, so he was saying it's more. Like, this is a bigger return. Murder Mook, this is the biggest return in battle rap. And I was like, well, that's real, too. You got to credit his own event, too. You know, he can be humble, but, you know, that's the truth. And people, you know, I hope everybody pulls up on the event. You know, people I hope there's a lot of St. Louis people that go and support Averb, and New York's not trying to just get Verb out of there, because that would just be so whack if that was. I hope the crowd's not on that extra shit and they actually want to let these guys rap and everything go down on the stage, not let the crowd kind of dictate the event, because that would just be so whack if that would have happened. I know. I need to see my guy Averb get a fair shake in New York, because, you know, y'all don't like to give Verb a fair shake. People gonna kill me for saying
that. Yeah, that sucks.
Rodney gonna kill me for saying that.
That sucks. What, New York doesn't give them that much love sometimes? Especially when they don't get people in Harlem?
I thought you were gonna say that Verb is just sensitive, or that, like, he don't handle the crowd well. Cause go ahead.
Sometimes Verb just boos for no reason. Like, but that's a lot of people. It's just, unfortunately, Verb gets the worst of it. It's to the point that it's not Summer Madness without Verb getting booed if he's on the card, which is hilarious, but it sucks. But it's not like he didn't deserve it. I think the only time that he got booed in those predicaments, and I don't think he deserved it, was when he bout T-Rex. That battle had one of my favorite showtimes ever. The Fraud, Rex, Imposter, King of Lion, Mufasa. It was dope. And it kind of sucks that the crowd would, like, wish you watched me come to Harlem, guys. And it's like, well, dog, let that dude get off. Like, it wasn't like last time with Clips, where he definitely deserved to get booed. That Amaze Mice scheme that he did against John, he should have got booed. It wasn't hot, but Verb has definitely got a bad rep with some crowds, and it sucks, but that's not what all the time. Sometimes Verb just doesn't come with it, and that's his fault. But either way, when he does come with it, it's crazy, and the crowd shows him love. Let's be real.
Yeah, so this is I was watching, because they had Disaster on 15 Minutes of Fame radio, and I was watching. They asked him about how he felt about the Mook and A Verb, and he was saying, like, you know, I hope Verb wins, but he made a really interesting point, and this is probably going to lead us into a good, you know, little talk about the battle, little debate, is that Disaster said, he was like, you know, I hope a lot of people from St. Louis show up for to support Verb, and I hope that I would hope that he'd be able, like, he rooting for him to win, but at the same time is like, he just made it sound like, you know, Murder Mook is very difficult, like almost impossible to beat. And he was saying that he was like, Verb's going to have something ready. He's going to need like all sorts of different rounds to respond and rebuttal whatever Mook does. Because he was like, Mook always comes with a plan for each person he battles.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a response to that, having great material is not going to be enough to overshadow what he comes with. Because when he breaks you down, he's attacking you, and he comes with these certain angles, you have to have a response to that. So he was like, I hope Verb is going to have rounds ready. He's going to have his round that he wants to use, and then certain other backup rounds, just in case, you know, to respond to what he thinks Mook is going to say. And if he doesn't have, if Mook doesn't say what he thinks he's going to say, you need a round responding to what he does actually say. So he was like, basically,
right,
Verb needs to have a ton of rounds. He needs to have so many rounds ready, different rounds to respond to whatever Mook does, because he's always very calculated. Yeah, and that time limit thing is scary.
You hear about the time limit?
I heard the time limit is the first two rounds is 5 minutes each, and then the third round is unlimited.
Unlimited, yep.
You let
that happen with Murder Mook. That's not a good idea. Especially with someone that has sat out for so long, who probably has so much to say. He probably didn't write for you for years, but he has wrote some things for years. So he's going to have some things to say. He went five rounds over 7 minutes with Iron Solomon with things to say, whether it was trash or not. You think he's not going to have 10 plus minutes, 15, 16 plus minute rounds for you? You accepted that? Nah, I would say at least four. Five. Nah. And unlimited? Nah.
Well, I mean, my prediction is, well, my, not prediction, but like my expectation is that if Verb is going to go unlimited in the third round, knowing he knows Mook. I mean, Verb is very, like, I feel like Verb, out of all people, at least from, in my opinion, one of the reasons why, like, Verb is like a certified legend. Like, he should be up there, like, with these guys in this conversation. I know he gets a bad rap because he's always taking all these battles, but you got to look at it another way, is that he is right. He travels to everybody. He will battle every...
Yeah.
He just battled B-Dot. He went to L.A. to battle B-Dot and won. I don't know where this narrative comes from that, you know, Verb is trash, because he literally goes to every... Dude, he battled Jim's in his house.
In New York.
You know, on his... Yeah, in New York, on his home
league. With money on the line.
In a judge battle. Yeah, with money on the line in a judge battle, bro. And he lost a judge battle, and people hate on that.
He battled Real Deal in Pittsburgh.
Exactly. You know, didn't he battle Immaculate on the West Coast?
Yeah, he did. He battled in Cal. That was the same night that Diz battled Math, the Battle of L.A. No. Immaculate is from Portland. I'm tripping. But that was in the West Coast area, so Illmac was a little more favored.
Yeah, so I mean,
because
still, yeah,
he's from
still
the West.
A home game.
But, so,
Illmac,
that still counts. That technically still counts.
I mean, because if
but
you
I'm
watch
I'm
like the Iron
point,
Solomon,
definitely.
Yeah,
now,
like,
Illmac
watch,
can
like,
count.
I
mean, he bounced the source account, I'm going to say.
Okay, yeah, so that even goes, all right, so he does this all the time, so I don't understand where people hate on Verb, because you don't see other legends doing that. I mean, Loaded Lux, like, he's God tier, you know? He don't need to battle these guys. Him coming back is always huge. Like, his writing is unbelievable. But one thing to note about him is that when has he battled outside of New York or New Jersey?
But, Keith, here's the thing. Even though you guys commend Bird for going to these guys damn near dolo in their house, you still got to fight. You still got to fight with the best of your ability. B-Dot, okay, cool. Thesaurus, okay, cool. What about when he battled Illmatic? He lost that. What about when he battled other people he battled? He battled in New York numerous times against other people and lost. He battled, there's other people that he has battled, but he's lost to in a lot.
But
he battled Sharon
in
Boston, lost. He battled,
okay, but at the same time, though, is that so if you can say that, then this also flips onto if anybody listening and you call back, you watch the T-Rex and Reed Dollars face off, this is exactly the same thing but flipped on the other side. So if you're a fan of Dot Mob but you hate on A-Verb, now answer me this: how come when T-Rex has the same excuse flipped backwards from the opposing team? And Reed Dollars said, Reed Dollars told him, "You've been on a losing streak, though. You lost your last four battles or whatever." But then T-Rex said, "What did he say?" He said, "But I won 20 before that." Exactly.
Right.
That's pretty much the same excuse, and it's the same reasoning, but flipped on the other side. So, if Mook really can't say about Verb losing,
case,
he has 55 battles.
How's that different?
No,
look, when you're comparing that. Like, for example, Mook has a winning streak, but it's three. You compare that to, like, guys like A-Verbs, Charlie Eclipse, T-Rex. Like, those guys battle, like, 50 times straight. I understand at the same time, we always use it. It's not about how many fights you had. It's who you fought. But it's also about who you fought against, while how many fights you had too. And again, Mook, this also goes for Mook too, not about how many fights you had, who you fought too, and does the fight matter? Besides Mook's return, I can't really be 100% confident about that because I wasn't watching Battle Rap at this time. We battled Iron Solomon. People were more focused on his return than the battle. Mlad was really like, "Oh, yo, he's battling Iron Solomon. It's gonna be a classic." And five rounds? No. I don't remember hearing people talk about that. I don't remember people talking much about the rematch with Lux, saying that's going to be crazy. People want to see Mook against the Sioux Surfs, the Calicos, the Howl of the Don. Those are more relevant than just rematching Lord Lux again. Fighting Iron Solomon. All people that are from your era back then that you could have been battled. Whether or not that didn't happen back then, nobody really cares much about that. Reed Dollars, he battled much. He didn't really battle much. He probably only battled like three times since his return. And you compare that to Rex. Whether or not, Rex still gets slandered about his losses as long as Averb. I'm not letting Averb slide. But at the same time, when you battle that much, you're going to lose eventually. DNA, he's battled a lot, and he's been consistent every single time. But he hasn't won every single time. He battled Rum Nitty in Cali, in the West Coast, even though Rum's from Arizona. Even though his material-wise he was great, he still lost that battle. Why? It just wasn't his night. It wasn't his night. And it wasn't like any material that he had was trash. It was dope. It just wasn't his night. You're gonna even though you battle a lot, you're not gonna win every match. You're gonna lose sooner or later. He was on a fire streak.
All right.
My bad. Go ahead, Keith.
That's a good thing you're going on. So Verb has had, I think he said 55 battles in his career. So if Mook had done 50 battles, what do you think his record would be?
It depends on what if he improved and got better or not. If so,
well, do you think he would have lost though? He would have losses though.
Oh, he would definitely have at least maybe one, maybe like three or four losses. It also depends on how many battles he takes. Because I don't expect a guy like Mook to, like, battle, like, 30 times a year or at least 6 times. I would expect more of a Loaded Lux type picking your battles type thing or a Hollow the Don.
No.
Because they're go
earlier, somebody said online that in the comments, I was reading the YouTube comments. I always like to see what people say because there's all this funny stuff in there. And somebody said that Murder Mook is the Floyd Mayweather of battle rap. How? Floyd Mayweather fought everybody. He fought 50 fights. How is Mook? That made no sense. I understand what they said, like a tiny bit, but not really. Yeah, okay.
Well,
he's had like three battles.
He's a strategy type guy as well. Floyd,
yeah,
he's not just the just haymaker thrower fight to both of y'all drop type puncher. He strategizes. You know what? Let me talk with him a little bit and see what he's working with, what he's made of. Then I'll do this that. He's doing everything he can to get points during the fight, to get as many points that he can in a certain type of way to get the W. That's probably what they mean more as far as that. And plus, he's undefeated. Whether or not it's about how many fights he had and who he's taking them, he's undefeated regardless. Even though the Iron Bow wasn't impressive at all and the Lux Bow wasn't as great as it probably could have been, he still won and somehow all those rounds that he's taken because he's done things a certain way to be better in those rounds. We got to be honest about that. I'm not going to slander him that much.
Well, I ain't trying to slander him. I'm just questioning things that I don't understand. Because if he hasn't fought that many times, then there's ways you can compare it and then say that you can contrast it at the same time. So he could be, you could say he's Mayweather, but really he ain't Mayweather because Mayweather fought everybody. I mean, yeah, he might take his fights, but
at the same time,
Mayweather comes back
every year. There's two ways you could think about
it.
Either he's talking about the record or the way he fights. That's
what I can say. Yeah, no, I understand that. It's just that Mayweather's beaten, like, I think it's 21 world champions. You can look it up. I'm pretty sure it's 21 world champions he's beaten. I'm a big fan of Mayweather, but I'm a fan of McGregor too. So if I said that before, you know, call me out.
And
I've always
seen how that happened,
guys.
Right?
I've seen how that happened, Petit.
Right?
Yeah, I seen how it went, but I
strategized on
it. Yeah, he did. I get what you're saying, strategy wise.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, yeah, but see, so Murder Mook got to come out and fight, you know, the best guy from, you know, some other world, and do his Mayweather thing. You got to fight like a top guy from like another organization.
Yeah,
like that. Murder Mook's got to come out and battle. That dude from that Battle Disaster who's got, like, you know, mad views in Russia or whatever. Got about that dude.
Oxymoron?
He's
good, too. I like him.
Yeah, he's having some stuff. But at the same time, I just wish I could understand him better. A lot of the stuff, I didn't really know what he was saying.
That's that Russian accent. It happens.
Well, that's just, like, shoddy horror. The more shot he started battling, like, against Americans, like, the more battles he was taking, and then also, like, the couple times that he came out to the States to battle, I feel like the accent was getting better. Like, he was so clear. Like, when I listen to – I watch his second battle with Austin all the time. I know people don't like that battle. I don't know why. I thought that battle was great. I mean, Shoddy was fire.
Because ace rating is already high, and two – ours choked bad, and plus it was a little way more tension than it did because ours slamming his hat, pocket checking him too hard. They got a little physical for a second. It was too much going on. Ours choked so bad. According to Chris Unbiased, he pulled his phone out. They just added it out. Like it was so much going on, especially when they kept bringing back some the same lines from the previous battle. Don't get me wrong. It had some good moments. I like Arsenal's second round especially. But it was like, come on. Like, and I'd rather watch the rematch. I'd rather watch the original battle 30 times than watch the rematch, hope that it's just as good, and it's not. Especially with you choking. I'm still confused on why they did a rematch. But, hey, I'm chilling. Especially so soon. It was 2 years later.
Yeah. You know, what I want to... Murder Mook and Charlie Horror would be a fire battle. I say that. That would be something that would really put Mook, like, out of his comfort zone. Because if you battle someone like Shoddy, it's like... I don't know if he'd be able to really find out. I don't know how much he'd be able to find out about Shoddy to really like build angles for him, especially when it's somebody who's not from America, and you know, especially it's not in New York or Jersey or you know, someone who you can watch on YouTube on like you know, so many different battles. I mean, especially Shoddy, you can't even understand what he's saying in his bars. So a lot of his stuff, like, I don't think Mook would be able to. I don't know. I think that'd be an interesting one for him. That'd be a big challenge, too, because Shoddy's nice, bro. I've been wanting to see Shoddy come back. I know people, I mean, the naysayers, there's people that hate on everything. So, like, not everybody likes Shoddy, but I was always a big fan. I think Shoddy's fire, bro. I've been dying to see him come back, actually. I'm kind of glad I got to come to this point. And he probably won't because he just started, like, his own little battle league and stuff like that. Plus, he's, like, dropping albums and whatnot. So he probably wouldn't come back, but... I mean, I feel like if the money was right one time, why not do it? He probably still writes battle bars now and then.
Yeah, it depends.
And it's funny because you know who would he would probably end up battling Shoddy Horror would probably have a home game against A Verb because that's how this thing goes.
Yeah, because
A Verb's the one that travels to battle everybody. So that's how it would go.
Yep.
A-Verb would travel out to the UK to battle Shoddy Horror. That's exactly what would happen. I can't even picture who else
would do
at this point to do that. Yeah, that would be fire too. I really think that style clash would be so dope. That'd be a classic battle. My God, we didn't even get to talk about Summer Madness 7. We were supposed to be able to talk about both cards, but you know, I kind of had a feeling that the Murder Mook versus A-Verb debate had the potential to get a little bit heated, and it did. So it was definitely thorough. I could say that we definitely went into it. You know,
that's
a bit,
main event.
Yeah, that is a very crazy, crazy, crazy main event. Oh my God! Shout out, very crazy, crazy main event. Shout out to RBE for putting that on. ARP too is a real, real dude. That very dope, very real. You know, I'm proud. I'm proud as fuck of this, proud as fuck of battle rap for, you know, these two events being back to back. You know, the end of the summer is usually interesting for battle rap anyways, but this even exceeds expectations, at least of the past couple of years, you know, around the end of the summer. So it's going to be crazy. Summer Madness and then Rare Breeds the week after. You know, we'll have to get on and talk about that, you know, in one of the next couple of shows coming on. We'll have another guest get some more. We'll have to talk about it. You know, we still got a couple of weeks leading up to the event, so we'll get more deep into different details, different aspects, get some different perspective on the two events, and we'll get to jump into the battles on Summer Madness as well, cause since we didn't get to it tonight. You know, Rodney, I appreciate you for jumping on, bro. I know I was getting a little frustrated and stuff like that, but it was just because I was trying to.
Nah, kid, I kept talking over you. My bad, man. That was me.
Yeah. Well, I was just, you know, because I was just trying to, and I like to let you rock out too. I tried, but I was just, I was trying to push to get to the, you know, certain amount of content I wanted to get to. I didn't want us to get, because in the beginning too, you know, I know, the listeners know I probably got a little carried away myself, you know, into certain topics that were kind of off topic, so I already lost us time in the beginning. So when we kept going, I wanted to be able to get to a certain amount of content. So my bad for that, bro. But I appreciate you for jumping on and chopping it up with us tonight. This was a super dope show. And, you know, for the listeners, look out for episode number 50. We're probably going to go on either Wednesday night or Thursday night. Episode number 50 is definitely going to be either Wednesday or Thursday night. So Lee's going to be back in the building. Possibly Rodney be in the building. Possibly Raz be in the building. Possibly, you know, whoever else want to call in be in the building. Like I would say, 917-889-3251 if you want to call up and speak your mind and talk some real stuff, then let's get into it. Check out Rodney's show on YouTube, Stuff Talk Session on YouTube. Go search that up and show some love to the boy. And, you know, enjoy. You know, it's still summer. You know, people are still out of school. I'm still out of school. You know, students rest up because, you know, we always work hard. You know, kids in college, high school, we put in a long day, even though they like to talk down on students and say we're lazy and stuff like that. But I think we're putting it in a bad light. I think we put in a lot more work than we're actually giving credit for. You know, it's high school, they give you a lot of subjects you don't even really need to be learning about, and you got to study them so hard and this and that and the third. Same with college. So, just everybody rest up, enjoy your summer, keep on getting out there, hit the beach, get that tan going, and be happy in life, bro. Be positive. So, until next time, Lean Keys, Real Talk, episode 49, over and out. Rodney, you have any last words for the people, bro?
You check out the Stuff Talk Session, man. We'll be dropping episodes again soon once the studio situation gets out of the way. Meanwhile, enjoy all the content you guys get from the previous shows, from the Stuff Talk Session and the Lee and Keys, man. Enjoy the shows.
Yeah, for sure. We're over and out. Lee and Keys, Real Talk. Everybody have a good night. Stay positive.
Easy.